actually used was weird. So it's going to be a little weird. And that was because I knew that God was moving me to do communion at a different time. And I have two things going on. I have my usual prepared message, a very in-depth message on self-control, which is really good for the body. Last week we talked about unity. But God moved me to do something else, and this is where it's going to just be different, a little bit strange. The letters written in the Bible, which are a big part of the New Testament, are letters. They're called epistles. Letters to the churches. The very first letter written to the churches was actually from James, the half-brother of Jesus. And he wrote, as the letter starts off, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, to the Jews that were dispersed, but the Jews that were Christian, the believers in Jesus Christ that were dispersed from Jerusalem. Part of God's plan. Every time we see persecution, it resulted in God moving. And to move His people, to push them out, to spread the word, He had persecution come upon them in Jerusalem. And so James writes to them, wherever they may be. You and I are a byproduct of them. We are hearing the word today because of what they did back then. So that letter was written with us in mind, in God's mind. We must remember that God's word is breathed out by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not just an influence, as some might make you think. God didn't just influence some writers to say some godly things, but the rest of it is their mind. But it is literally breathed out by God into the heart of those men and women, and they wrote according to God. And so this letter should be looked at just like that. It's a letter written by God to you. The book of James is a very applicable book. It is something that is very full of useful information to the believer. It is one of them letters that it is only as good as you receive it. You'll see many things in James and say, well, I knew that. But the question is, are you doing that? Are you applying that to your life? Is it making a difference at all? Why are we seeing so many Christians so weak, so unable to overcome sin? Why are we seeing so many people in the church falling victim to things of the world that they should not fall victim to? What is it that's going on that this church isn't overflowing with people? There's an estimated 15,000 people within a few miles of this place. And there's a lot of churches. There's probably 6 within a few miles. Well, there should be 20, and they should all be full. But the majority of people do not see the need to apply these things and to be part of the fellowship. And so what God's moving me to do is go to the book of James this morning. Go ahead, Hayden. Just a reminder. Now, I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. I studied versions for a long time and determined that I wanted to use the English Standard Version. It was either that or the New American Standard, which are very similar. I encourage you this morning to grab an ESV that's in front of you. All the Pew Bibles are ESVs. We even put out some blue paperback ones. Large print. Yeah, they're all large print, even our hardcover ones. And I want you to know that the Word of God is free. So if you don't have one and you want one of those Bibles, just take it home with you. No one's going to stop you at the door or tackle you in the parking lot. They might hug you in the parking lot. But I want you to be able to read this in the same version that I'm going to read, so it's easier to follow along. You can go home and study it in any version you want, however God speaks to you. And now here's the surprise. I'm going to read the whole book. When's the last time you read a whole book of the Bible? I wonder how many of you have even read the book of James. Well, today you're going to. Today you'll be able to put in your list that I accomplished reading the entire book of James. In every step of the way, and here's the thing, I could get up here and preach that word on self-control. I could get up here and expound on a few verses. But it is the Holy Spirit that takes whatever I say and applies it to you. It is the Holy Spirit that makes it real for you and gets a return for the kingdom. God says His word never returns void. And it's not by what I do or any preacher. It is what the Holy Spirit does with it. Amen. And so I know exposure to God's word will get results. Amen. And exposure to this much of God's word is going to yield huge results. Amen. So as you read these words, don't read this like a story and go, yeah, I've heard that before. Moving on. If the Holy Spirit begins to convict you in one of these places, it's time for you to stop and take it up. Or maybe make a note and say, I need to go back to that later and see what God wants to say to me. I could probably preach 50 to 100 messages out of this letter. But today we're just going to let God do it because this is His word. It should be sufficient, shouldn't it? Amen. When this letter was received by the church, that's what they did. We've only become the type of people that need to expound and spice it up with a few jokes and some illustrations to help you walk away feeling like you've got something. But I'm just going to let God do it today. And I don't know if we'll ever hear that message on self-control, at least not for the rest of this year, because I've got something else to tell you at the end. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for Your word. Father, let the Holy Spirit convince us right now. This is the most important tool a Christian has. Your word, breathed out by Your Spirit, this is what You have said. And since You never change, this is what You say today. Though we are tempted to change it and to mold it into our liking, to make it apply to circumstances that we find favorable or are culturally acceptable, Lord, help us to fight that temptation. Help us to see it for what it says. Help us to allow the Holy Spirit, not grieving Him, but allowing Him to minister to us. When He says, that's you, or this is what you must do, let us not shy away from it, but let us fall under conviction. God, help us. God, help us. We need Your help. So thank You for giving it. So freely do You give it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion. Greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. I'm going to go back and read that verse. Blessed is the man and woman who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, You will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. Amen. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Excuse me. I'm so tempted at this point to already begin preaching on these things. He says, be doers of the word. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, this is crazy. We might do that. I just want to be able to move it away if I have to. Hello? Can I have some volume? Thank you. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away. Is this going in and out too?
Yeah.
Wow. Is anyone that God's word? Yeah. Keep going.
Give me a microphone.
Wow. Let's read that whole part right there over, because apparently that's really important. And somebody doesn't want you to hear that. Verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away at once, forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, that is the law of freedom, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Boy, oh boy. Chapter 2, my brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you hold the faith in your Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, that is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do murder, have you become a transgressor of the law? I'm sorry, you have become a transgressor of the law. So, speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. There's a verse that always bears repeating. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." Some of your versions say tremble. "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Now he's going to move on to talking about the way we speak, our tongue. Chapter 3. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Think of a match. Think of a match. And think of 10 million acres that gets burned up. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Chapter 4. What causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? I'm just looking. When I read that, I take it to heart. We're going to get into that. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, He, that's God, yearns jealously over the Spirit that He made to dwell in us. But He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you to judge your neighbor? Or anybody? Verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Man. For whoever knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, that is a sin. Chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. What a great line. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, this must be important. But above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months. It did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So he ends it with a charge. We're not to look at people and see their sin and try to point that out. We're supposed to come alongside people and bring them back. No matter how they fight, people kick and scream. One thing I've learned, when somebody's wrong, when someone's doing wrong, anything in the Word of God convicts them. Any message they hear thinks it's talking right to them. I remember when I first got saved, I loved going to church because every single Sunday I was convicted. I thought the pastor knew something about me. Had we had Facebook back then, I would have thought he's checking me out. And he keeps on talking to me. But as we work things out, a sinner is brought back. And as it says here, we'll cover a multitude of sins. So here's what I'm going to do. And this was really strange. I was up a lot last night. I have a whole message here. And I kept going back into James. My first message was about sin and temptation. And then it got bigger to self-control. And then it became this. And so, starting next Sunday, I'm going to preach from the book of James exclusively. I'm going to expound each chapter. I don't know how many weeks it'll take, but I'm going to thoroughly apply the Word of God from James, using other scripture, of course, to prove it, to bring it about, and again, let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. So I thought it'd be a good start to read the entire letter. Now you've read the entire book of James in one sitting. That probably only took 20 minutes. And I know a lot of you got something just today from that. I know the Holy Spirit will remind you later. Have you ever done that? You're driving down the road and all of a sudden you remember what you heard? That's not you remembering. That's the Holy Spirit going, what about that thing about works? And you go, yeah, I never do anything, do I? Music team, come up. We're going to do a closing song. I'm just going to stop right there and let the Word of God work. So starting next week, I told you this is going to be a little weird, a little different. I've never done this before, but I felt really led to do it. And so be ready for James chapter 1 next week. Amen. And we'll go as far as the Lord takes us. And I know it's going to be good for the church. I don't have that song up there, I just remember, so everyone knows it. I mean, who doesn't? They'll get it. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, how good it is to be fed by your word. I pray for those that are here today. I realized they came hoping to hear a message from your word. But I think far greater than that, they heard your word entirely. And so, Lord, please, please let your Holy Spirit work busily right now. Search us, minister to us, comfort us, and lead us. We want to be godly men and women. You need godly men and women in this community. And so, Lord, raise up this church. Raise up leaders in this church. Add to us daily that we may carry out your will for us. That's all we want to do, is carry out your will for us. So thank you for your word. Thank you for raising up James, who once doubted his half-brother, but later came to realize that he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. So thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.